Steve Dale back with you on WGN Radio, and I couldn't be more excited because sitting right here in the studio to my left, you can see her now, is Susana Mendoza, our Illinois State Comptroller. Outgoing, is that how I say that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still going to be around. I have another year and a half, Steve.
Well, that's a while.
Yeah, that's a good chunk of time. When I'm done, it'll be 10 years under my belt. Super exciting.
So the media's talking like you're retired already. You have a year and a half to go.
I still have a year and a half to go. But I just wanted to announce with time for other candidates to be able to really fully get vetted by voters and, you know, have the people decide who my replacement should be, right? I think that's how it should be.
That's the only reason?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think think about it. I announced the week of the slating, the beginning, and before petitions go out. So I don't think it's cool to wait until, you know, you're in the middle of petition season and then,
pull
a quick one. That I knew that was what I was going to be doing, making the decision to not run for reelection. And so I think, it's something that I've been thinking about very, very seriously, whether or not to do it, because I really love my job. So it's not like I knew I was going to do this 2 years ago, let's say, right? Or even a year ago. It's every day. It's like, do I stay? Do I not? And so I've just come to the conclusion that I do need to think about what my next big challenge is. And once I figure that out, you know, I'll be all in. So,
you know, the WGN listeners are way ahead of me. So I'm looking at the text right now.
Uh-huh.
And they are telling me that, okay,
hopefully they're being nice. Everybody.
They love you. They love you. So here's my question.
Sure.
I'm going to come out and ask, are you running for mayor or not?
Well, the door's open. All right. I said that was a question that everybody asked when I made my announcement. And I really wanted to focus my announcement on just really saying thank you to the public for not just the 10 years that I will have served, God willing, as your state controller, but the 2 terms as city clerk, my 6 terms as state representative, 24 years of, in one way or another, the public in Illinois giving me their trust, right? And so for me, there were a lot of accomplishments that I wanted to highlight because that's the work that I've dedicated myself to with the trust of the people, right? And so that's a responsibility that I've always taken very seriously. And that's what I wanted that day to be about, right? And I did say, of course, the obvious question from everybody immediately after my announcement was, so what's next? Are you running for mayor? And I said very honestly that door is open. I have to figure out what that next biggest challenge is for me. And I will figure out, you know, whether it's, you know, through long talks that I've already had with my husband, with our 12-year-old, with our friends, our other family, and with Chicagoans and Illinoisans, right? Where can I be of maximum impact? Where is it that I can still, like, completely expend that, like, fire in my belly, which, you know, has been there for many years. You've seen me in action, certainly as city clerk, and what I did there, not just in the animal space, right, but also in terms of modernizing the city clerk's office and taking big issues, big problems, and fixing them. That's what I love to do.
The first city clerk, and I'm a native Chicagoan, who actually people knew the city clerk's name. And the city clerk actually did something above and beyond what you had to go to work to do every day.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why we knew your name. So you are very good at least 2 things. One is politics. And really, you are. And I mean that as a compliment.
Thank you.
And you really haven't exactly answered the mayoral question. I understand it's something you're still thinking about. Is it something that you are seriously considering? And if so, if someone else were the mayor, mm-hmm. who you loved politically, was happy with the job that person was doing, would you be in the seat answering the same way?
So you're saying if I was happy with who the current mayor of Chicago was, like if I felt that the city was moving in a great direction and I was just super proud of like everything happening, mm-hmm. no, I would not be thinking about looking at that as a potential, you know, option. And I would say I don't ever, and I want to be clear, I would never look at this option as an option for me. I would look at entertaining this option for Chicago because I am concerned and I'm not going to pretend otherwise, right? I think every Chicagoan, and not just Chicagoan, let me be clear, every Illinoisan is concerned about what's happening in Chicago. And the last 9+ years of my life have been dedicated to fixing the state's finances, getting us to go from a state where people were saying if you were a smart investor, you'd invest in U-Haul and get out of Illinois, right? Those were the things people were saying when I first ran for office for state controller because we had $17 billion in unpaid bills. We had a 210 business day delay in paying our vendors. That should have been criminal. Mm-hmm. But that's how we ran business in this or government in this state.
So the other thing, I said there were two mm-hmm. things. The other thing that you're very good at is money.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, for sure. And then, yeah.
But so let me ask you this. The Markwick bill?
Yeah, sure.
What do you think?
I think
explain what that is first.
Sure. Then, do you mean the pension sweetener?
Yeah.
So I was, you know, very vocal on this. I mean, there's a whole was it Fox or who Paris that yeah. we had an interview that I did where I talked about how look, I'm the sister of a police officer. I love the police. I love our fire. I love our first responders. You know, I cherish them, frankly. I want them when they retire to be able to have a pension that protects them in their years of retirement. Unfortunately, the police and fire pensions are the worst funded in the nation for the city of Chicago, already at just about 25% of a funding level. That's woefully, woefully deficient. To give you an example, like the general public always talks about how bad our pensions are for the state, right? When people think about pensions, they think state pensions. And they're like, oh my gosh, it's the biggest crisis. Well, to give you a point of context, state pensions have about a 44% funding ratio, which seems like amazing compared to the city of Chicago's police and fire, which are at under 25% funding. So they are almost at a point of no return. And what this bill does is this bill increases the pension benefits for police and fire here in Chicago of a tier two pension. And so like people might be confused by this. So like the retirees from years past are considered tier one. And then years ago, trying to create some type of pension reform to make it a little bit more affordable because so much of people's taxpayer money goes towards pension obligations, they created a new tier of a pensioned employee. So new employees going into either the state system or the city system would no longer be under the old rules that had 3% compounded interest increase in their pension benefits upon retiring. So you retire, you're off a year, and then after a year, you get a 3% automatic increase to your paycheck, right?
So without your pension. Getting into the weeds here with the specific numbers, which you can do.
Yeah, they're very high. Let me just say they're very big. And the more, so the point was tier two was meant to not give those 3% compounded COLAs every year. And so the new employees signed up knowing what those new pension benefits were. So they were lower than the ones before, but that's kind of what you knew when you signed up for the job. But this bill basically erases that and treats the tier two basically like a tier one. So the command staff do not have capped salaries, that their pensions can't go past a certain amount of a salary. Now they can. And also, everybody who retires in Tier 2 will get a 3% compounded COLA, which is going to blow a $60 million budget hole into Chicago's already super fragile.
Okay.
Yeah, $60 million hole overnight blown into the city's budget.
Okay, so here's the question. We want more money and a fair pension for police and fire.
100%.
Right, but can we afford...
No, we cannot. That's the problem. And that's what like people just don't want to talk about. And like I am a huge fan of the police. And if we could afford to do that right now, I'd be the first one leading the charge to say, hey, let's help our officers make sure that their pensions are fully funded. We should be looking to improve the number from 25% to 90% or 100% funding. And I would say that the best way to not do damage is to not keep digging yourself into a bigger hole. And instead of, you know, trying to plug that hole, put more, you know, dirt into it, essentially, if you want to use the analogy, to eventually be on level footing. What we've done with this is taken an already the worst in the nation, woefully funded pension system, underfunded pension system that's funded at 25%, not even 18% funding level overnight. I don't know how we can sustain that. I truly don't know how. I know it's not what the men and women in uniform would love to hear me saying because they might think that that's me talking against them. It's the contrary. I want them to be able to retire and actually have their pension there. Because let's say, you know, 25% of something is better than 100% of nothing. And that is my concern, that this will absolutely make these these pensions insolvent. And who does that help? It certainly doesn't help our men and women in blue or our firefighters who are running into rushing into burning buildings. And so these are like the real conversations that people need to be having. They're the responsible financial conversations that we need to be having. And it was not good to move forward with this legislation, I think, for the governor to sign it, because all it does is immediately blow a $60 million hole into the city of Chicago's budget without the dollars attached to funding that.
So I want to talk about that hole in the budget.
By the way, that's just this year. By the 2055, we're talking about like $750 million.
If things were to continue.
Yeah, because they will. They will continue. Now it's law and it cannot be changed because we have constitutional protections to pensions. So, you know, my comments in the past have been, this is an issue of affordability. It's not an issue of deserving, because of course, you know, I think of all workers, frankly, police and fire are the ones who most risk their lives for all of us.
But one could argue we could do other things for them that the city isn't doing now.
100%, yes.
So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that budget hole. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about the CTA cliff that everyone's talking about. And we will talk about
that.
Yeah,
we get to
that.
Talk about all the easy, fun stuff. Let's do it.
She's excited. Whenever we talk about numbers.
Like a numbers nerd.
She is a numbers nerd. Wonderful. Susana Mendoza is here on WGN. Are you running for mayor? No, you don't have to answer.
You're so
again.
Funny.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Steve Dale back with you on WGN, 11 minutes before 2 o'clock, after 2 o'clock, the author of this book. And in fact, let me ask you a crazy question, Susana Mendoza. I've got two crazy questions for you. What is your state title currently?
State controller.
Is it comptroller or controller?
What is it, like potato, potato? So technically, it's controller, but lots of people say comptroller because that's how it's spelled.
So does that mean your job is to be in charge of everybody because you're a controller?
You're so funny. I say if I get mad at you, I'll call me controller then. Yes. No, but the correct pronunciation is controller, but typically you see the spelling of controller, C-O-N-T-R-O, in the private sector. And you'll see comptroller more common in the public sector.
I never knew that.
They're basically pronounced the same way.
So we'll talk to the author of this book, Desi Arnaz, the man who invented television, just after 2 o'clock. Here's how this question kind of relates to you. At that time, Lucy and Desi, that was a mixed marriage. That was not done on TV. In fact, CBS, the network, said, there's no way we're going to do this. Lucy was so popular, they went on the road, including here in Chicago, to prove their popularity. Here's the question for you. I don't know that we've had a Latina mayor in Chicago. I know we haven't. You have broken ground just by being who you are and running for office and succeeding and being Latina.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you think about?
Well, I'm very proud that I've been the first, for example, in my space in many aspects, right? I was the youngest elected in the 92nd General Assembly when I became state rep. And I was Latina, a woman, right? And then I was the first woman elected city clerk of Chicago. And I'm very super proud of that, but I'm actually more proud about what I delivered for Chicagoans in that space, right? You know what we did with puppy mills.
I do.
And then, you know, outlawing pets being purchased from pet stores where those pets came from, puppy mills. And then also what I did to get rid of the lines, the 3 to 4 hour long lines at City Hall. You remember that?
I remember
it was crazy.
That.
People would have to take a day off of work or vacation day
literally
to go pay a tax. It was insane. So, like, I just believe we should be making government work for people instead of making it difficult for people, right? The less they have to interact with us, the better, because that means their time is spent doing what they want to do, right? So, that was my first there. And so, yes, I was the first woman and certainly the first Latina in that space, but it's more important what you do with the office, right? Because also, I also think that people look at us and say, if we screw up, we don't get a lot of grace, right? But at the same time, people of color, I would say this is true. People might disagree with that, but as a person of color and seeing others in spaces, I feel like when something goes wrong, there's a lot of eyeballs on that and a lot of criticism. Whereas mainstream folks, that doesn't happen as much. People might critique it, but no one thinks, well, we shouldn't hire another person of that mold in that position. And so, I'm very proud of my roots. I'm a neighborhoods girl. I was born in Chicago. I was born in Little Village, Hispanic community. And hopefully the kids in growing up in Latino communities across Chicago and Illinois and anywhere that they've seen me can be proud of the work that I've done, because hopefully that will help open up doors and give further credibility to people of my background that we know what we're doing and we work hard and we have like a work ethic and it's, you know, all these things. But yeah, Chicago's never had a Hispanic mayor, male or female. I was the first Hispanic male or female elected statewide as a Democrat. So that's like another first. But again, I don't just want to be known as like the first Latina controller. I hopefully want to be known as the best controller the state's ever had, right? And so like in every position that I've had, I want to be known as the best of that. But yes, I'm proud of who I am, where I came from. I would say most importantly, who I came from, which is Susana Mendoza and Joaquin Mendoza, right? They're like the best parents a kid could ever hope to have. And I have the best brothers a girl could hope to have. And I live in the greatest city that I could hope to live in. So this is how it works, right?
Even though,
proud of who you are and where you came from.
Even though we have a fiscal cliff, as it's called, for the CTA.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Are you getting Governor Pritzker on the phone? I mean, we're going to need his help for this.
Sure. I mean, I think, like, obviously, transportation is key to any world-class city. Transportation is key statewide. Obviously, the RTA and PACE, you know, cover other parts of Illinois outside of Chicago. But Chicago in and of itself, when you look about what's happening, just hear the pulse on the street, right? Like, people don't want to ride the CTA. And when they do, they often get ghosted by the CTA. I mean, I wonder if any of your listeners right now are like, yeah, she's right, because that's happened to me, right? And think about the person who, like, for you and I, if we want to go catch a ball game and let's take the L, and it, you know, it doesn't pick us up on time, it's like, ah, whatever, we'll catch the next one, right? But for people whose livelihoods depend on showing up to work on time,
sure,
and getting to work and back home safely, and not knowing that you have a reliable transportation system that you can depend on, this is a major issue. It's a livability issue. It's a, if you're a business looking to set up shop in Chicago, to know that your workforce can have a safe, clean, and dependable transit system is part of the equation that you look at as Chicago being an investment opportunity for you. So I think we have a lot of work to do to restore the reputation of our transit system. I just came from Taiwan and I got to ride their metro and I got to see their high-speed rail in action. And it just made me so jealous, honestly. And I made a tweet, and I think I did like a post on Instagram or TikTok where I'm riding the train and I'm like, it's so clean. And I wish I could like transfer through this mic and the radios that people are listening right now. I wish I could transfer like the smell of the station. It just smelled clean. There's no urine, no, you know, bodily fluids that you're smelling that you're trying to like hold your breath to get past. No one's smoking. It is very culturally different, right? It's very, you know, everyone there is Taiwanese, but nonetheless, it's a culture of like we and looking out for each other versus, you know, like big cities in America are very individual more based, right? Like we look out for me and then like everything else is ancillary, but you don't see garbage anywhere. Like literally they have this cool app where if someone spills their coffee, you just notify on the app and then someone comes within 5 minutes, they're there cleaning it up. I saw it in action.
But that would be great. I understand. Aside from the cultural differences though, I mean, you can go to other cities in the United States and their public transportation
is much better.
Yes.
Yeah. And so my point is about my tweet as I was going on here is that I said, this is what we should strive for. Clean, safe, and affordable, right? Those are three things. You don't need to build a whole new transportation system. We've got great bones here in this city. But if we could just even tackle cleanliness and safety, that is huge. And then work on reliability, which of course state funding is important to all these things. But I think taxpayers are really kind of fed up with the thought that they have no idea where their money's going, because we are paying a lot in taxes today, Steve. When we see our systems that don't operate the way they should, given how they're funded, then this is a problem. And so when we're asking for more funding, it has to be crystal clear to people. What are you going to do with that money? How are you going to spend it? Are you even listening to us as to what our issues are, as to why we're not on the public transport? There's only so many times you can get ghosted before you get fired by your employer if you're coming from one of these lower income neighborhoods. So I think these are all things we need to talk about. I'm hearing about them all the time, and I'm going to talk about them as we move forward, because all the haters out there who say Chicago can never be this, you're wrong. They're like so beat down. They feel like, you know, there's nothing we can do that will ever improve. I just don't believe that. I am always going to be the optimist about what's possible in the city and in our state. I've been that as your controller for Illinois, and look where we're at today. Much better than we were when I walked in, right? No more backlog. No, we're paying our vendors faster than ever, faster than the private sector even. Like, my oldest bill is, what, 11 days, Abden? And it's like, we're rocking it. Nine credit upgrades later, we can fix everything in our state. But we've got to listen to people because they're the ones who are riding the L or deciding not to.
All right. So in our minute we have left here, the city has some financial issues, understatement, I believe.
Yeah.
How do you fix those? We have, again, only about a minute.
Yeah, I don't know what the solution is to that yet. I would say the number one way that we get out of our financial dilemmas is through growth. We have to grow, grow, grow. This has been a city of builders, right? Chicago is our economic engine.
How about raising taxes?
I want to say let's grow our way out of this. Why do we have to keep always going to the easy bucket of asking people to pay more without showing them more?
Can you say that again? Can we quote you on that?
Yeah, for sure. You should quote me on that. And here's what I want you to look. You've got the most beautiful view. Your audience can't see it. But I'm looking outside and seeing the most beautiful skyline here.
It's the best skyline in the nation.
Yeah, but you know what I hate about this skyline right now?
What?
I have an unobstructed, perfect view of this skyline. There's not a single crane that's obstructing my view in my picture. If I take a picture, I don't have to like use magic eraser to get rid of the cranes because there are none right now in my eye shot. And pretty much in any direction I look, it's going to be like finding Waldo to find a crane. Without cranes, you do not see economic growth in a city. In any vital and vibrant city, you can gauge its economic position through the number of cranes that you see in that sky. And so we have work to do. This is the greatest city in the world. But clearly, we need to grow. We need to grow, grow, grow so that people are paying less, less, less in taxes.
Yes, yes, yes. One more question for you.
Yes.
Okay, you're not telling me, but is Governor Pritzker running for president?
I don't know. I mean, I think like my guess would be that, you know, I don't think that's a secret, right? So
no.
I know he's running for re-election, but we'll see, right? I think he's the only person you should ask that question to who might have an answer for you.
Okay, Mayor. State Comptroller or Comptroller, either which way, Susana Mendoza, thank you so
great
much.
To be here. Thank
and,
you.